Glenn.
Andrew.
Over there trying to figure out the Instagram live thing. And, you know, we're late again thanks to
Facebook.
Now Facebook Live. So here's the new thing for this week. All right. It's like it's been something every damn week for a while now. And the new thing this week is you have to download Google Chrome beta in order for the camera feature on Facebook Live that was just working no problem a couple days ago. Now you got to have Chrome beta in order for it to work.
Yeah, didn't you have to edit all your settings and download fun stuff last week?
Yes. It's like, but I don't change anything on this computer during the week. I'm not like in here messing around with shit. It's like every week it's something different with Facebook. Oh my God, it drives me fucking insane. I'm like going insane just dealing with Facebook. Oh my gosh. All right, we're coming to you from the AR500 Armor Studio. AR500, of course, still in business, still doing their thing, still selling stuff, still making it, still hiring, by the way, if you're looking for a job, still doing all kinds of great things. And we're still here, you know, doing our show. And, you know, some people don't like AR500 armor. I want to talk about that for a second because I'm always amused. I'm amused by a lot of things in life. But one of the things that I'm amused by is, like, the discord about various types of armor. Let's just get this out there, all right? Shocker, steel armor is heavy, okay? Yep. It's gonna be heavier than your cool poly plates. It's gonna be heavier than your ceramics. It's gonna be heavier, both of which these guys make, right? Or at least produce. I mean, they don't make them in house, but they sell them. Like, it's also really, really inexpensive.
Yeah.
And yeah, their carriers are not the greatest carriers ever made. And their armor is well tested. And sometimes it has some problems. Like, you know,
everything else.
You know? But it's well tested stuff. It definitely stops bullets, all right, of the type that it's designed to stop. Yep, there's some stuff it won't stop, like all armor. So you know what? If you've got $300 or $400 and you need a full, completely set of armor, you can come down to AR500 Armor, you can get a good carrier that's going to work for probably what you're going to use it for. You can get a good set of armor. It's going to fucking stop bullets, all right, for the most part. And you can walk out the door and be fully set up. And quite honestly, you can do that for less than $100 with some of their setups. But you want to get a good setup, a few $100.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe $400.
But it's like, do you really want to go cheap on that stuff?
Well, but here's the thing. It's sometimes it's not always about cheap. It's like, can you afford? Because look, man, the poly plates are awesome. And Spiritus, Systems Carrier or Tier, which is what you and I use. You know, Tier's great. God, there's so many. Velocity and Mayflower. I mean, yeah, those are awesome. Hell yeah, dude. And if you want to drop $1,500 or $2,000
on a set of armor.
Yeah, and those setups are a little bit different because they're small, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, look, man, if you want to drop $1,500 to $2,000 on a set of fucking armor, you should do that. And if you have that money, I highly recommend it. Get yourself a really nice set of poly plates and a badass freaking Mayflower or Spiritus or Tier or whatever carrier, all right? And badass. We've got other carriers other than AR500 armor stuff. We also have some AR500 armor stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. It's fine for its intended purpose. Then our other stuff is a little bit more heavy duty. And look, if I was going to go kicking in doors every freaking day, yeah, some of these carriers are not exactly made for that. But if you're not doing that, which is, I don't know, probably the majority of people, then, yeah, you may not need that. So, yeah, steel is heavy. It doesn't float. Shocker. All right, it's only rated to a certain amount, and you're getting what you pay for. You're getting a couple $100 worth of armor.
Yeah.
The end.
The end.
Like, it's not that hard. People debate it. It's crazy. I see some of the discussions online. They just crack me up.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about some of that stupid shit today on the show with lights. Yeah. There's some of the dumbest shit out there about lights, but we're getting to that. We're going to get to that. All right. What else we got? We got other stuff. Patrons, thank you so much for your patronage. Remember, your extra show we put out last week. So if you're a $10 above patron, make sure you go check out the extra show that is on Patreon for you. Make sure you check out all the other information. And make sure you send us your show ideas if you're a patron. Like, all of the show ideas we have lined up for, like, the next month and a half are literally all from patrons.
Yeah, which has been awesome. We actually got a couple of more people that sent us in ideas.
So, it's like, if you send us an idea...
we are going to do it.
There's a pretty damn good... there was one exception where a guy asked for a show we did, like, 4 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, hey, man, fucking rewind 4 weeks, and we'll do it again in 6 months, and we'll talk about it from a different perspective. But, yeah, I'm not going to do the same show 4 weeks later. But other than that, if you put in a show idea, you're probably going to get your wish. All right, we got to talk about COVID because it's going on. We're going to keep it kind of short because for next week's show, which is a pre-recorded show, we're going to go a little bit heavier into that. We're bringing in Chris, who's one of our instructors, also an instructor for another organization, and he's had a lot of traveling lately, and he's going to be talking to us about some of the stuff he's seen during his travels. And, of course, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on right now with COVID, or states opening or not opening. All these doctors are coming out and saying they were paid to freaking lie about the numbers, and they were paid to lie about the cause of death. And
does that surprise you?
Of course it doesn't. And they have all these national folks who are like, all these national doctors who are getting on CNN and shit going, quit wearing fucking masks, it's not doing any good, and people are still out there doing it. So I want to talk about a trip that Drew and I took. So we got kind of wild hair Friday and decided we wanted to go run on the beach.
We did.
For those of you who are in Arizona, you'll know we don't have any actual ocean beaches here, so we had to drive to California. Now, some of you guys are like, I can't believe you went behind the enemy lines. Yeah, I go to California. Whatever, all right? So I'm like, oh, man, what's it going to be like?
We were like, oh, my gosh, it's going to be like quarantine hell down there.
And I am, oh, I am proud.
You are. You are so proud. I was so proud.
I said it so many times. I was so proud of Californians. And this may be the first time I've ever said that. I was so proud of the fuck you wearing masks that I saw.
Yeah.
We were on the beach. Tons of people on the beach.
Tons of people on the beach. And people were not 6 feet apart.
No.
There were so many people.
Maybe 5% wearing masks. Maybe.
Yeah.
That's a strong
maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
The only place you had to wear masks was to go into a business, but it was pretty loosely enforced.
People were still, they had their mask around their face, but not covering their mouth.
We just took neck gaiters
and
just pulled neck gaiters up. I just pulled it over my nose and Drew would do the same. And then we'd go in and do our business, you know, get a coffee or
But mine was too whatever. Big, so it kept falling off. And then I finally just said, fuck
And no
it.
One even gave a yeah, shit. We went into a brewery to get some drinks and it fell off her face and the lady didn't even give a shit.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Yeah.
I was really proud to see that, man. Yeah. I was really happy. And I know some of those people were tourists, too. But there were plenty of Californians that we saw that were definitely locals who did not give a shit. We stopped and had conversations with people. There was a couple there with their dogs. Yeah. And we talked to them for a while. Yeah. And no masks.
Yeah.
One of them was in law enforcement.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, God, masks. And, oh, so stupid, you know. And then what I loved the most is they closed the beaches at 6.
Oh, my God.
At 6 p.m., they closed the beaches, okay? They literally patrol the beach up and down to make sure there's no one on the beach. But everyone is back at the, like, the street line.
Yeah.
Basically waiting for the patrols to stop, and then people go out to the beach. Now, the patrols are still cruising, and they're catching people and just tell them to leave.
It's like people crossing the border, man.
Dude, it really was. It was like under cover of darkness, you would see shadowy figures run, like 10, 15 at a time, running out to get in the ocean and play on the beach for a minute.
Yeah.
And then here'd come the cops. And just as they passed, people would be like, it's all clear, you know, and just as that patrol would pass, like seriously, a whole other group of people would run down there. It was hilarious to watch. And certainly, of course, you know, Drew and I may have participated in that.
And we may or may not have won and got down to
the
water.
And we totally won. And we totally found a spot at the ocean that was not being patrolled and enjoyed the ocean.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was great. But it was like, it was amazing to me. And I really, really did do me proud. Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm loving this. The people just didn't give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even when we got to our hotel room, the lady didn't even have her mask on until she saw us, and then she put it on. And
kind of haphazardly put it on.
Yeah. Even she was just like, yeah, it's a big joke. Like, everybody just needs to go back to work. And I think that's where everybody's at, is everybody's pissed, and everybody just wants to get back to work. But yeah, it was a fun time.
I can't get pulled over by the cops and not tell the story.
Oh, gosh.
Because the last time I got pulled over, which I told the story here, it was a fine experience. You know, I got pulled over. I was speeding. I had a great conversation with the police officer. I got a ticket, rightfully so. I was breaking the law by a lot. He wrote me a ticket for it. We had a friendly discourse. It was no problem, right?
Yeah.
He was like, I got to give you a ticket for this. And I said, thanks. I appreciate you being willing to cut me a little bit of a break on this because I was going pretty damn fast. But I didn't get tased. I didn't, why am I being detained? I didn't video him or anything. We had a nice conversation and that was it. Got pulled over in California. We were almost to our destination.
We were like 2 minutes from our
and
hotel.
All of a sudden, wham, this car pulls in behind me, hits the lights and chirps me. Boop, boop. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I did not break any laws. I'm not speeding. We're like,
we're slowly creeping.
We're slow rolling because we're trying to find the turn.
Our hotel.
And it's late or early. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And so there's nobody on the streets. And I pull over and the cop comes right up and is just like, hey, how you doing on it? He had his mask on, and he was like, hey, you doing tonight? Fine. You got anything to drink tonight? I'm like, nope. He's like, you sure? Because you were cutting over the lines back there. And I'm like, okay.
And we have a little sway on our.
It's a little sensor that tells us if we're cutting over the lane. And I'm like, okay, I knew I wasn't, but I'm like, all right. And he's like, here, follow my finger real quick. I'm like, sure. So I follow his finger, do his little, and he's like, all right, cool. Where are you guys coming from? I'm like, Phoenix, we drove all night to get here. And he's like, okay, well, just get to your destination and have a good night. And he goes to leave, like, doesn't check IDs, nothing. So
doesn't
obviously,
even ask if we have guns obviously, or anything.
Just cruising for drunks.
Didn't even ask for your driver's license.
Nope, didn't ask for anything. Obviously, just cruising for drunks. Just cruising for tourist drunks. I got out of state plates. We're driving a decently nice car. He's gunning for freaking drunks, right? So I'm kind of like, hey, cool, as long as we're violating constitutional rights. Why don't you give me some information as long as we're going to have this transaction? So I'm like, hey, what's the deal with masks? He's like, well, technically you're supposed to be wearing them right now. And I'm like, so what happens if I don't? He was like, fucking nothing.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, well, how about on the beach? Because we want to go to the beach tomorrow. And he was like, I don't know. I'm not a beach cop. And I was like, so you don't give a shit? And he's like, I don't fucking give a shit. I'm like, all right, buddy. See you later. So that was my, you know, get pulled over by the cops experience. I always like to share those because I wasn't a dick. He wasn't a dick outside of why he was doing what he was doing, which I disagree with.
Oh, yeah. He's
I understand
totally in the
that's
wrong.
His job. I don't agree with his job, but that's his job and he's going to do it. That's fine. But overall, I wasn't treated poorly or unprofessionally. I didn't treat him poorly or unprofessionally. And ta-da, we successfully concluded that negotiation.
Yeah.
Now, I could have done the whole, like, am I being detained? Why'd you pull me over? At which point, I could have made things a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
Instead, I just wanted to get the hotel. Can we go to sleep?
Yeah.
So I was really tired. So anyway, point is,
don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick, and you typically are just fine in life. Whether you agree what the cops are doing or not, there you go. So there's all that. That's pretty much all I have to say about the trip. The beach was wonderful. We ran on the beach. We biked around, rented some bikes. That was actually the one thing I did want to mention. Everything's closed.
Which is weird because it says you can kayak, because we were originally looking to paddleboard or kayak, and all these places said they were open, but when we called them, they were all closed.
Yeah.
I mean, we went up and down San Diego trying to find a place to...
We eventually found a bike rental place on Coronado Island that was open, and
we weren't that far away from it, so
no, San Diego
it was
a quick drive.
Yeah.
So every place also was closed. All the museums are closed. Driving through San Diego on a Saturday is weird because we're downtown San Diego.
Yeah.
And on a Saturday, no traffic. And I don't mean just no traffic. There was like, at one point, I almost wanted to stop and take a photo because there was no one in front of us and no one coming towards us in the downtown sector.
Yeah. And we wanted to go to the Midway, which the Midway said they were open. And then we actually get down there. We checked their website, all said it was open. Pull into the parking lot, closed.
So heads up, if you want to go over there, the beaches are open. You can go play. You can't sit or stand.
Yeah, which people did. They were
people
sitting.
Loitered a little. But there was no beach towels out. There weren't like people hanging out. People were hanging out on the beach, but it was a, hey, move along if they had to.
And they did have the cops on the
and lifeguards. There were more lifeguards on the beach to enforce the don't stand around law than I've ever. I've been going to San Diego a long time, at least once a year. I've never seen that many lifeguards on the beach.
There's a lot.
Normally you go, there's no lifeguards on the beaches. Yeah. And this time there were literally lifeguards almost at every single post.
And driving around.
And driving around to make sure no one got on the beach.
Yeah.
This is insane. It's absolutely like,
oof. And the boardwalk was closed, but people were walking down the boardwalk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, places that were closed, people were like, yeah, fuck you, I'm going.
Yeah.
So there it is. I was proud of Californians. I was proud of my fellow Americans for saying this is stupid and we're not going to fucking do it.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of Arizona plates out there too. So Arizona's like, fuck it.
Yeah, it was pretty freaking crazy, man. All right, Redwire gear moment. Here you go. Good equipment is something we always talk about in the Redwire gear moment, but I want to talk about one particular piece of good equipment, and that would be waterproof stuff. And that's waterproof everything, right? Like, water is a pretty constant in our life. Shoes, clothes, at least water resistant, pants, shirts, carrying a rain jacket, phones, waterproof, water resistant, electronics, waterproof, water resistant, putting things in waterproof or water resistant containers or cases. I see more stuff get ruined with water just because it gets wet, and then socks are wet, pants are wet, underwear is wet, shirts wet, coats wet. Not functioning the way it's supposed to. Phones get wet, they break. Electronics get wet, they don't work. Like, there's all these problems with not making sure that the stuff you use, especially if you're going to be around water, isn't waterproof or at the very least water resistant. And shoes are always a big thing. We've talked about that on the show before. But shoes especially, when you're out and about, like, look, man, if I'm going to just go for a walk down the road, I'm not concerned about it. But if I'm going to go on an adventure, if I'm going to go out in the woods, or I'm going to go on a hike, or I'm going to go to a different state or on a trip, I'm going to make sure I have weather gear. I take raincoats when we travel. I don't know if it's going to rain. Last night it wasn't supposed to rain.
And it sure
freaking rained. You know, so it's like you just never really know. So make sure that you're properly preparing for wet weather. Carry around the right gear. If you're not wearing it, try to keep it with you nearby. Make sure you protect your sensitive things, electronics, wallets, things like that you don't want to get wet. Redwire Gear Moment, brought to you by RedwireGear.com. John should return to us in a little over a month now. He's got about a little over a month left of the stuff he's got to do. So there you go. All right. Topic for today. I can't think of any other news we have. Anything really stands out. I'm sure I'm missing something and someone's like, oh, but what about? I forgot. Put it in the freaking comments. I'll look at it. All right, Redwire gear moment. What else we have on here? That's it. Straight to the topic. Topic today is going to be weapon lights, proper selection, pros and cons of different setups, and vision issues when using lights. I could make this show really, really short by saying the following statements that some people will disagree with, and that's okay. This is based on my experience with lights. Everyone has a different level of experience with lights. And whatever setup you decide on is great, go with that. And wherever you get your information about lights, great, go with that. Whatever. But here's my take on lights and weapon mounted specifically. One, every single firearm that should be used for a defensive purpose, handgun, carbine, or shotgun, should have a weapon mounted light attached to it. The end. Next, that light should be so fucking bright it should almost harness the light of the sun. All right? That's that. And three, make sure that that light has administratively changed batteries. Don't wait until they get dim or dead. Change them. It's worth the extra, you know, dollar or two every 6 months to just throw the battery away and make sure you got a fresh one in there. That's it. There. You guys want to know about weapon-mounted lights? There you go. Right? Now, here's a couple of things that I want to talk about specifically to weapon-mounted lights. Whether it's pistol-mounted or rifle-mounted, the on-off switch should be intuitive and easy to access. It's going to be different for everybody. If you can't reach the light switch, it doesn't matter. So if that means you got to change it and make a rail-mounted light switch, fine, do that. I'm not a huge fan of cords and stuff, but some people are. They don't care. They tuck them away, or they get little cord keepers, or they find little mounts that hide the cord. Great, do that. That's fine. I just want it to be intuitive and easy to reach. That's handgun or carbine mounted. Two, or I should say, not two, but another important thing to say, would be it needs to be mounted on the gun where it's not going to get accidentally activated. Like, one of the problems with a lot of the paddle-type lights is people will mount them on the side of the gun, and then they'll sling that gun, and that paddle will activate that light. And so then they're standing there basically having a negligent discharge or an ND with their light, which may not be what they want to do. You just may not want to drain your battery.
Which sucks for left-handed people because you're going to run into that issue anyways.
Yeah, so it's like, and if you run into that situation, well, now you got to, you know, you got to move your lights to the other side of the gun. You got to mess with other things.
Yeah, you have to like change your whole.
So another issue that's important, things that come up, I'm trying to think about things that come up, how bright lights are. All of the lumens. Remember, lumens is a measurement of light at the bulb. It is not how the light is thrown.
Yeah.
So you can buy a 1,000-lumen light and it's a piece of shit because it doesn't have a good reflector. So without a quality reflector, it's not going to freaking matter, right? We're going to take some photos of this, of what I'm going to do here in a minute, and post them on the Facebook and Instagram for Arms Room Show. So Drew's going to take care of that. But for you guys watching on Facebook Live, or if you want to go look up the Facebook Live if you're listening, I'm going to do some live demos of lights, throw, and things like that, even just within this room, because it's really, really important for you guys to see some stuff, all right? But we'll get to that here in a second. All the lumens. Don't worry about blinding yourself. You're not going to blind yourself. And people go, well, the light has an effect on your vision. That's 100% correct. If you're in a dark environment and you turn a light on, it fucks up your vision. Duh. Cavemen knew that shit.
Mm-hmm.
This is not revolutionary stuff. I've read, I was sent a thing the other day about like this long, huge breakdown of how vision interacts with light. I'm like, this is all really interesting in like the quantum theory way of being interesting. It's cool. I don't give a fuck, but it sure is neat. I don't care how the light interacts with my eyes right now. Do you know what I want? When I'm handling somebody in the dark, I want the fucking lights on.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I grew up in the world of electricity, so from the time I was a kid, you walk in the room and it's dark, you turn the lights on. You go outside and it's dark, you turn a flashlight on, the brightest one you have. Dad never said, hey, son, when you're out here and you want to see something, start with the dimmest setting and work your way up from there. It doesn't fucking make any sense.
Yeah.
Whatever was the reason we were turning on flashlights, we need to see some shit. And certainly if I'm in a defensive situation where we're talking about weapon-mounted lights or even an offensive situation where lights are even more useful, you cannot really that offensively use the old school, you know, halogen-type lights. That yellow-beamed, I don't know, maybe 100, 200 lumens maybe. Like that's, those things were not that effective at oppressing people with light. You come into a room now on somebody, and I'm home defense, door kicking, I don't care what you're doing, and everyone in there is rocking 1,000 freaking lumens, I don't give a shit who is on the receiving end. They are not going to accurately and effectively return fire or fire at all if they do anything other than try to turn their head away from that freaking light.
Yeah.
It's not even the kind of thing like I can sit here and talk about it. Just do it on your own. We do it every time we teach a low light class. We put someone in a room and we go, okay, here we go. We're going to come in with a super bright light. And we either give them a laser gun or a freaking UTM pistol, depending on what the class is. And it's like, shoot the person that's aiming the light. They like rarely hit them. And when they do, it's a shitty hit.
Yeah.
And it's a real, real low hit percentage. Because that person comes in the room with 1,000, 1,200, whatever lumens of incredibly searing white light. You're just driving them down with the freaking light. And they're moving. And they're shooting.
Right.
Identifying, doing all that kind of stuff. And it's like, dude, this isn't the old days. We're not walking in there with a candlelit fucking lantern. You know, that's not how this is.
Yeah.
So with this incredibly, incredibly bright light, get the brightest light you can. Don't worry about white walls. Don't worry about reflective surfaces. Don't worry about any of that. If you know proper room clearing techniques, you're not just walking around shining the light at walls and shining the light at fucking mirrors.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
You don't even need to shine it at anything in particular. Shine it at the ceiling. Shine it at the floor. Shine it at a corner. You know, if you're just trying to see what's in the room. You identify somebody, get the light on them. You can't shoot what you can't see, and you shouldn't shoot what you haven't identified, so you're going to need to get the freaking light on that person. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even have to be directly in their eyes for you to be searing their freaking retinas with 1,000 lumens. Now, they're not going to be any more blind than you are, but it's a lot more, well, I shouldn't say that. It's a lot more blinding on their end than it is yours, is a better way to say that. But they're not going to be permanently damaged, is a better way to say that, right? They are going to get more oppressively injured by the incredibly bright light shine at their face than you will be getting some splashback off of walls and the floor and whatever. But they're not going to be permanently blinded by it. It's one of the greatest things about lights. I can flash a light in someone's face to identify them, move them around, let them know I see them, whatever it is. And if it happens to be the wrong person or a, you know, non-combatant or whatever you want to call it, I can just go, oh, sorry, didn't mean to flash you in the eyes. It's not going to permanently hurt them. So you can't do that with a gun, right? So that's going to be a big thing to just get out of the way. You want as many freaking lumens as possible, right? And you want a really, really good reflector, because the reflector is what creates the quality of the lumens. And I'm going to get to that here in a second. Activation is what I want to talk about next. Where you mount it on your gun, if you're going on a handgun, you got limited options. If you're going on a rifle, put it somewhere that's intuitive and you can access it with both hands. Though I would say accessing it with your normal support hand is more important than having an ambidextrous setup for the majority of people out there. You're not running through the freaking, you know, hills or running through a building, switching right shoulder, left shoulder, right shoulder, left shoulder. You're not doing that shit. No one does that shit. They only do that shit on fucking internet videos. No one does that shit in real life. All right, especially if you got any kind of kit on. Because your kit's usually a little bit set up around you being a predominantly right or left-hand shooter. The last thing I want to be doing is trying to switch this thing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Stupid, right? The majority of the time, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So having an ambidextrously accessible light is important. And people will notice, like, sometimes they'll see I put my light on the top rail. And they'll be like, oh, is that so you can access it with both hands? No, it's actually not. It's so that it's nice and in line with the barrel, and I don't ND when I'm slung. That's it. It's nifty I could access it with the other hand if I needed to switch to the other shoulder, but the likelihood of me doing that is small. I have a much better chance of being on my dominant shoulder and engaging from there and getting good hits than I do on my non-dominant shoulder. Not because I'm not ambidextrous, I am. But I spend a whole lot more time on my right-hand side. So make sure your activation isn't going to be ND'd lightly. You know, make sure it takes good positive pressure. But also make sure that the access is easy to go to constant on. Momentary is nice for searching, but I need constant for shooting. I'm not trying to hold momentary while I'm shooting. Momentary is for searching, light off, maybe move around, momentary on, okay, searching, light off, move around. Constant, when it's time to go, it's time to go. I need the light on the whole time, go, go, go. So I want a kind of activation switch that's really, really easy for me to activate into constant and keep it there. Let me think what else about light selection. I mentioned already I'm not a huge fan of cords. Here's why. One, I've seen a lot of them rip off, and that's a bummer. A lot of the new setups, like the one from Cloud Defensive and setups like that, make it really easy to manage your cords. I also like to be able to take the light off the gun if I need to use it for something else. I am a one-gun thinking type person. So I'm like, hey, if I need to take this light off this gun and use it for something else because I'm not going to be using this gun, but I do need to use this light, I want to be able to just take the light off the gun and use it as a handheld or put it on another weapon system really easily.
So also when choosing a light, was it because when I took the class and we did, you had us all shine all of our lights and we were discussing how much of the projection, where some people were like super focused and
yeah,
other ones had a tremendous amount of projection.
Yeah.
Is that something to consider as well?
Yeah. So that's actually what I'm going to do right now. We're going to take some photos of this and we'll do it after the show. But we'll take some photos of this so you guys can kind of see what we're going to do. But what I'm going to do on the show for you live viewers is I'm actually going to turn the lights off here for a second. All right. And I'm going to describe this to you. Okay. So the lights are off, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shine on this opposite wall here. I'm going to shine a Streamlight TLR 1HP, and for you Instagram folks, I'm going to shine it for you as well. Okay, so this is a very bright light. It's about 600 lumens, I think it is, 800 lumens maybe. It's one of the older TLR ones. And if you see, it's a very undefined light, right? Because remember, measurement of lumens is at the bulb. So if I was in a room like this, quite honestly, I'd be doing better off shining it at the ceiling where it gives me area light than I would be trying to shine it at the wall
where I'm not necessarily getting the right splashback, all right? Now, watch what happens when I go from just a bulb with that many lumens, okay? Now, I'm going to thread on this reflector. Some of you guys might have noticed, if you're watching on the video, all of a sudden, got a lot less bright in here. But look at that pinhole. It's going to kind of be hard to see on Instagram. There we go. Maybe you guys can see it better there. Right? Look at that tiny little pinhole of a beam. So this light is designed to be a long-range rifle light. I'll hold it up here for you Instagram folks. This one with their larger bell reflector on it. Right? That's the larger bell reflector. So it's designed to really be able to go out to longer ranges. So, you know, if I've got this light right here, so you guys can all see it here, all right, I've got the light right here. This center point here, that's your beam. Okay, we're going to refer to this center point as the beam. Look how tight it is. Not what I would want for a close range engagement. Look at the splash I'm not getting in the room, because that's not what this thing is for. This is for being outside, nice and bright, long distance. You look around here, around the beam, it doesn't really have hardly any flood, which is normally what you're going to see around the beam, or the spot, some people call it, and then basically no splash because of the way the reflector is designed. It doesn't want to splash. It wants to throw this beam very far out. You know, I can get a good beam on target several hundred meters away with this light, even though it's still not a very, I may not be able to have target ID at that distance without a magnified optic. All right, now compare that to, okay, here's a Surefire X300 in 1,000 lumens, all right, and look how much more splash, right, Instagram first, let me show you guys first. So here's that TLR with a really concentrated spot. Here's the Surefire, look how much more splash I'm getting. And here I actually have an actual flood. I have the spot, the flood, and then all the splash. And if I put it up on the ceiling, I illuminate the room even that much better because of how it's throwing the light. Right? For you Facebook folks, I'll do it for you as well. Okay, so here you can see on the wall there, here comes the Surefire. Look at that freaking splash. I mean, that's how bright it is. Now look how bright it is. A tremendous amount of difference. You're talking about 200 or so lumens worth of difference here, because it's not about the lumens, it's about the way, the quality and type of the reflector. So, you know, you think about it, if I'm shining at this wall behind Drew here, all right, let's say the two photos of our dogs there were our bad guys in this room, all right, and I shine this light, I can see both of those dogs, and I can easily see the torso to their left, I can see the Victor Wrench photo to their right, I can see, hell, I can see all the way behind me, I can see everything in this freaking room, right? You can kind of see the same thing for you Instagram folks, right? If you say, like, these two photos here were my bad guys, all right, I can see everything there. I can see the Victor Wrench photo to the left. I can see the corner of the room. Again, if I turn around and look behind me, I can literally see everything in. There's almost no shadows at all. But now I take this other light. It's technically a quote-unquote rifle light. The X300 is technically a pistol light is what we would refer to it as. Look at that. I mean, I can see those two guys okay. Still not as good as I could with the X300. Can't totally, I mean, I can make out the picture on the left, but I can't really totally see it. The corner over here is dark, and behind me, there's a shitload of shadows and darkness. All right? Facebook, you can see the same thing here. But yeah, I can see the two dogs, but now suddenly the torso of the left isn't as easy to see. The picture of the right isn't as easy to see, and there's a lot more darkness and shadows in here. So I'm going to turn this on. So again, if you're listening to the podcast, I hope I described it appropriately to you. And we're going to take some photos of that. I may do another demo here in just a second. But it is about the lumens. You want as many lumens as possible. But it's a lot more about the quality of and type of reflector. Don't just go, oh, it's Surefire Streamlight, so it's good to go. Yeah, you know, they make good reflectors. But is it the right type of reflector for your application? That's going to be an important thing. Now, both of these guys have paddle activators. The Surefire you can press to activate, and then the Streamlight you just use the paddle, and it's either constant on one way or momentary the other. Whereas with the Surefire, it's momentary if I push, and then constant if I hit the rocker paddle. Either way, I can go up or down with the rocker paddle, which is nice. So I like those setups. I like the Surefire setup more than I like the Streamlight setup, honestly.
I also brought a couple other rifles. And these are lights I actually use on my stuff, by the way. They just aren't just random shit I have. This is stuff I am actually using. So I brought two of the Enforce lights, one of their smaller lights and then one of their larger, the WMLX. They both have the rear panel activation buttons, which I like. I like because it's press once for constant, hold for momentary release, and the momentary goes off. I like the fact that it's kind of this sloped design, so it's really hard to negligently discharge it from me. And I just like the way it, you know, the way it's set up. So when you're running with a setup like this, it's a pretty self-contained setup, nice, easy, freaking on-off switch design. The downside you're going to run into with some of these smaller lights are the reflectors. You also want to look at what the light actually does. So like this smaller one, this is the HSP from Haley, Travis Haley, and this is the regular WMLX. So the downside to this small unit here is it's momentary only. I don't really know why they made this, to be totally honest with you. I don't really freaking like it. I don't like the idea of a momentary light only that I can't constantly keep on. I don't want to have to hold the light in place to try to, while I'm also thinking about engaging. I may have to get into an unconventional position where I have to release that light, or I may have to drop a hand and go single-handed or something like that. I don't want to have to hold a light in place. I'm not a fan of that at all. I do have the light. I use it on a gun that I mostly just use for fucking around with. This is a more serious light. This one is a light I would absolutely depend on, and I own several of the WMLX lights. I really like them. I actually use them as a helmet light for night vision stuff. They make an IR version that's badass. But this is a really nice light. Again, it's got that nice constant, one press or hold for momentary release for off. So look at the activation and look at the modes. Like, I like this. I go, hey, I got light or no light. I don't really want, like, the stream light has got the, you know, like the strobe. I don't really care about the strobe. Strobes are really only good for confined spaces or team movement, or even better, team movement in confined spaces. They're not really good for, like, one-on-one type stuff. It doesn't give you the benefit. If you're not rapidly moving and you're not in confined spaces, it's not really that beneficial at all. So having the thing, I don't care. And I don't really like lights that I have to go, I hit it one too many times and now I'm in strobe mode, or I hit it accidentally three times because I'm under stress and now it's in low mode. Or like, fuck that, man. I want to turn the light on. I want it to come on super bright. And then if I want it to go into an administrative function for whatever reason, then fine, I can take the time to do that. But when I press that thing on, I want it to go to the highest mode 100% of the time. Question on Facebook, what about becoming a magnet to incoming rounds? Yes, you're absolutely going to be seen. Yep, it's a light. If someone's in the dark and they turn on a light, you can see them. In fact, we were kind of laughing about that when we were talking about people sneaking down to the beach. There was a couple people sneaking down to the beach this weekend and they had their light on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you're missing, you know, you don't get it. Everyone else is successfully making it to the water because they're not using their light. They're just running across the sand, dude. But this guy's got his light on for whatever reason. And of course he got snagged. But the point is, yes, people are going to see you. If you're effectively, so lights receiving incoming rounds is a lot more of something like we think from a tactical perspective of, I only use the light when I need to, and I use it a minimal amount, and then when I turn it off, I move. I don't want to be where I just was when the light goes off. Because if I'm a law enforcement officer searching a warehouse for a suspect, let's say, and I don't know where he's hiding, or if I am a military team trying to move through an open space or move to an objective or something like that, yeah, I want to keep light usage down because obviously people are going to see us, and once they know where we're at, it's really easy for them to shoot at us. Unless you're in that world, in which case, you have your own SOPs and you don't need me to fucking tell you, all right? For everybody else, it's not going to be that big of a deal. If I'm in a room or I'm in close quarters, guys, they already know where the fuck you are, all right? If someone's attacking me in the parking lot, they know where I'm at. If someone's in my home, they probably know I'm in there, all right? So they already know I'm in there. They're looking for me, trying to avoid me or specifically attacking me or whatever. My light is now going to be utilized to my advantage, to be able to shine on them so that I can move and get out into a better position, whether that's going to be physical or lethal or escape. That light, yeah, good luck shooting at 1,000 lumen light in your eyes. Just give it a try. We do it. I take this light right here, this 1,000 lumen Surefire, which is similar to, you know, most pistol lights. And I'll, in every low light class, I go, okay, guys, I'm going to stand, you know, engagement distance away from you.
Yeah, you have everyone close their eyes.
Mm-hmm. Everyone close their eyes. And one at a time.
Yeah.
It's like one at a time, when I stand in front of you and tap you in the chest, you're going to open your eyes. I'm going to flash you for a fraction of a second. It's a fraction. It's just like, boop, it's a fraction of a second.
And I will say, after getting flashed with that, all you see is spots. So you don't even have perfect vision after that. Because
you're going to have a huge halo in front of you, and you're going to be like, oh, shit.
And
now,
then you're gonna
go ahead and shoot at that.
Yeah.
Because wherever it was, I'm not there anymore.
Yep.
If I engage this light on the end of a pistol or even in a handheld, and I go, oh, shit, that's a dude. He's got a gun or a knife. He's moving towards me. He's going to shoot at me, whatever. The more I can keep that light in or around his face and move, the less likely he's going to be able to do anything to me.
Yeah.
And you buy yourself, on average, what we find in classes, if we're just testing people, it takes the average person 3 to 5 seconds to get enough vision back that they can see me again.
Yep. Yeah. And that's been proven. I mean.
Yeah. And I'm not the only guy proving this information, guys. I'm not groundbreaking information here. Okay. This is just in a collective unit here. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff like, do people shoot at lights? 100% people shoot at lights. So don't just fucking stand there. One. And two, use a shitload of light. Because if you turn on your little 100 or 200 lumen piece of shit light, yeah, they might be able, literally, they might be able to see through that. But I'm telling you, man, you take a 1,000 lumen freaking Surefire X300 to the face, nope.
Yeah.
You cannot see through the light. Your eyes, the rods and cones in your eyes, cannot process that kind of incoming light to the point where you can see it, adjust, and then move, or be able to see around it. Not like you could through a small little handheld flashlight.
Yeah.
So how many lumens? It's always all of them. As many as you can. Well, why weren't we using all these lumens back then? We didn't fucking have them.
Yeah.
Right? Back when we were literally duct taping mag lights to our rifles, we didn't have this shit. If we'd had this shit, we'd have used it. You think we were zip tying mag lights to rifles because it was fucking idea?
Long ones.
It wasn't a good fucking idea. It was the only idea.
Yeah.
And as soon as they started coming up with weapon mounted lights, everyone was like, this is fucking awesome. And then they just got smaller and better and brighter and more powerful and longer lasting. And dude, yeah. So
if you haven't taken the low light, no light course, definitely take it. And if you have taken it, take it again. I've taken it twice and I learned something new every single time, especially about lights that I know nothing about. And it's awesome because you get to see actually what we're talking about here, where you get it shown in your face and you're like, oh yeah, I'll be able to see. No, the fuck you do not. You cannot see. Like, you are done for a couple of seconds. So if you haven't, it's a great course and it's only 4 hours. It's not a very long course. We don't have another one until the fall.
Yeah.
But
that's a tough thing about low light classes.
Yeah.
Unless you're teaching inside, they're damn hard to teach.
Yeah. But look into it. It's a great program, and it teaches you a lot. I mean, I didn't know all of anything. And then the first time I went through it, was fine. And then the second time, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, that now I understand why it makes so much sense now.
Well, and if you're not taking it from us, which, of course, we would love.
Take it from someone else.
Take it from someone who knows what they're doing. You know, I'll always recommend Aaron Cohen from Sage Dynamics. That dude knows his shit when it comes to low-light stuff. Absolutely train with him. And there's a lot of other great guys who know it too. I mean, Craig Douglas from Shibworks, of course, my mentor, my friend, a phenomenal guy. You know, Cecil Birch and Media and Action Combatives, Chris Fry, Larry Lindemann, Paul Sharp. I mean, these are dudes who know their shit. They're not internet jockeys. They're not some, I was special forces and this is how we use lights. Guys, if I taught you how to use lights the way the Army taught me how to use lights,
y'all would be dead.
Be fucking stupid, because it's not even the same environment.
Yeah.
It's not even applicable.
You have to have at least multiple people with you, and typically at home you have yourself and maybe your wife, or your wife and maybe your husband. And
it's like, yeah, it's not even the same type of, like, what about light discipline? It's where a lot of these myths come from about, like, well, I don't want to be seen with my light. So I hear people go, I'm going to sneak around in my house. I'm like, why? Because I know my house better than the enemy. Yeah, but they've had time to fucking lay a trap for your ass.
Yeah.
And you may think you know your house, but guess what, motherfucker? You roll the dice and you roll wrong, you're going to get a knife in the belly.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. So don't think you know your house so well you can sneak around in the dark.
And are you practicing? You know, are you training in your own house? And it's, you know, it's just you by yourself. And again, we talked about all those things about putting all those other stuff in places so you don't have to go through that situation. But okay, are you still training? I mean, we actively do. We do situations where we do drills, or if our kids are home, what do we do? If they're not home, what do we do? And
there's a lot of considerations to make there.
Yeah, and stop watching TV, cops on TV or movies and them entering in houses and.
Well, and then you run into the issue of, again, you go back to a military law enforcement perspective of really how much time have you been trained by someone who's a subject matter expert or at least has a really good grasp on the topic of lights in those environments where you're going to be using them.
Yeah.
You know, that's not my forte. I don't use lights in law enforcement work. So there's stuff that cops teach me all the time. When they're like, oh, dude, I do this or I do that. Like, oh, dude, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
What a great way to utilize your light in that fashion. Yeah, when I'm talking to a suspect, I always make sure I do this or that or something. It's like, oh, that's really cool. I don't really talk to a lot of suspects on a professional law enforcement basis. So that's a cool application. Doesn't really apply to me.
Yeah.
But it's a cool application. Or if the military is going, oh, yeah, man, when I was in or when we did this, we used to do this or that. It's like, cool, man. That's cool. That doesn't apply to me. Doesn't apply to me in a parking lot.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And here's another interesting thing about lights in general. And weapon-mounted lights are what we're primarily talking about, but I want to mention this. In 10 years of teaching people all this kind of stuff, we've had more people successfully defend themselves with flashlights than with guns.
Yeah.
Because when the light comes out and it's super bright in someone's face, and you're moving, and you're talking, you're shooting verbals or whatever it may be, and lights are effective all day, you can be inside during the day, and they can be effective in shadowy or darkened areas. They can be effective in shadowy, darkened areas outside during the day. They can be effective in, you know, dusk and dawn and overcast and all that kind of stuff. They can still be effective in certain circumstances. Don't think it's got to be pitch black for your light to work. So, yes. Plus, the fact that you produce the light, especially if you're holding it in a good manner and you're freaking shining it in someone's face, already shows like, dude, I'm not just going to lay down and take whatever you think you've got coming my way. Here's my light. What do you think's fucking next? You know what I mean? There's something that's going to follow this light.
Yeah.
Most people I know who carry flashlights carry other shit too, even if it's just a knife. You know?
Yeah. You can even shine it in someone's eyes during the daytime and it's still going to hurt their eyes.
Have some effect.
Yeah.
It's going to have some kind of effect.
Where you
now, can on a bright, sunlit day in the middle of a field, no effect.
Right. But in a building.
But any other kind of setting, yeah, it has an effect.
So.
And if you don't believe me, try it. Take your super bright freaking weapon light, hold it at arm's length, stare at the fucking bulb and turn that bitch on. If you've never done that, it's going to blow your fucking mind.
Yeah, and then try and look around.
Yeah, turn it, hit yourself in like a low light condition and then be like, oh shit. And I mean just a fraction of a second, right? Don't burn your retinas. Do it for a second and then you'll be like, oh my God. And now imagine that that light was attached to a gun from someone who was shooting at you and you had to defend yourself against it.
And then you think you could try and shoot. You do it with one of those little BB guns, you know?
Yeah, put a target out and then successfully engage a little target or something like that.
With a little BB gun. Like your kid, go grab your kid's BB guns.
Good luck, man.
And see how well it works.
There's a lot of misconceptions out there about this kind of stuff. And a lot of it can just be proven or disproven. And I don't care, you know, in our industry, there's always going to be some dude who was somewhere with some specialized unit and be like, well, this is how we use lights. We would never use them like that. It's like, cool, man. And if you're talking to people from those kinds of units, then that's how you should use lights. Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're in buildings for a lot, for example, like one of the coolest things you can do, and this is for everybody out there. Okay, here's a freebie. If you are wearing a helmet most of the time in your job, I don't care if you're a TAC medic, a fireman, a cop, SWAT, a mill guy, whatever. Get a fucking umbrella torch. Glenn, what's an umbrella torch? Let me fucking tell you about it. Get a small piece of Picatinny rail. You can also buy this shit nowadays too. But get a piece of Picatinny rail. If you're wearing a bump helmet, don't drill into your fucking ballistic helmet, you nerds. All right? Get a piece of Picatinny rail if you're wearing a bump helmet. Drill that shit so it's straight up and down on the back of your helmet or somewhere where you have some real estate. It's not going to get in the way. Take a fucking light. Mount it on your helmet so it's straight up and down. Now when you go into a room, turn that light on. Boom, it hits the ceiling. Boom, it floods the area. Voila.
umbrella torch. Now you can have hands-free light that's not shining directly on the person, excuse me, you're trying to help, especially if you're a TAC medic or a medic in general, and you have to do, you don't want your freaking helmet light shining right in their face or your headlamp shining right in their face, or sometimes it's so bright on the wound like you literally can't see it. So, especially if you've got some giant X300 or whatever and it's so close, throw an umbrella torch on there. Does everyone who needs, who has a helmet need that? No. If you're not spending a lot of time in rooms, you're outside a lot, it's not going to help you for shit.
Yeah.
But if you spend a lot of times in buildings, indoors, freaking umbrella torch that shit. That's a great way to be able to utilize hands-free light. So there you go. There's a very specific example of how one thing that's super cool in one environment is fucking stupid in others.
Yeah.
You know, Drew and I have got great helmet setups. We go out in the woods, in the desert, an umbrella torch is useless to me out there.
Yeah.
I'm out in the middle of nowhere. Now, if I go into a room, if I was suddenly doing room-to-room clearing, or I was freaking whatever apocalypse and I needed to go inside buildings all the time and be fighting people, yeah, I'm going to throw a freaking umbrella torch on there. Other than that, no, no way. I didn't come up with that shit. Someone taught me that shit. But it's like, these are just things to think about where you're looking at lights and very, very specific applications sometimes of lights are good ideas in some places and bad ideas in others. Here's something else to think about. You're inside a building. Turn the fucking lights on. Just turn the lights on. Use your weapon-mounted light to clear dead space, unknown space, dark space. Other than that, turn the lights on. You go into your room, you bump into a light switch, turn that shit on. But then they can see me. Yeah, but then you can see them too. And then they don't have as many shadows to hide into. Light from above is always going to eliminate more shadows than direct light. Direct light can even create more shadows. So now if I have light from above and a weapon-mounted light where I can shine it into dead space, dark space, uncleared space, now I have an even better chance of eliminating those shadows and seeing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Basic. Super, super basic light tactics, but things to think about when you're looking to set up your equipment. There's no reason to charge into your own death because you think that you've got everything dialed in because I know my house and I roll the dice and I go left instead of right when I go through a door and the guy was right and oops. So make sure you've got lots of light. Dude, I'm not above freaking throwing chem lights in rooms. That's a whole other freaking topic, but throw a fucking flashlight in a room. I don't give a shit. Turn that thing on and toss it in there. Help it help you see. If that's depending scatter. On the circumstances, right? See if someone moves towards it. Yeah. I don't know. There's 1,001 freaking reasons to do all kinds of things. Again, certain tactics in some applications are not going to be worth shit in other applications. Sometimes some applications or some tactics aren't worth shit in any application because they're old, outdated, or just not functioning or not as good as they could be. So last thing I'll say about lights is use them. Attach it to every weapon that you consider to be a defensive or offensive weapon should have a light attached to it. Period. You can get pretty cool setups like these WMLX IRs are a badass IR light. So like if you want a weapon mounted light that's a badass white light and a badass IR light, you're looking at it right here. Streamlight, if you're in the IR world, Streamlight makes their TLR2 VIR2. What a fucking acronym. And it is a badass laser and light combo that works pretty good if you expect close-range rifle engagements, but it's really designed for pistols. So now you can have a, and it's got visible light and IR light and laser. It doesn't have a visible laser, just visible light or IR light and laser. So, you know, just, there's so many options out there, man. The freaking Surefire Vampires are badass. You know, if you like spend a lot of money, the Surefire Vampires are kick-ass freaking lights. There's so many freaking choices out there. If you guys have questions or you just wildly disagree with some of the stuff we're saying, you know, we love to hear it. Send us an email, info@trainingaz.com. If you have questions about some of the stuff I've talked about, or you're like, hey, how come you don't use this, or why'd you say that, or whatever, freaking send it to us. And, man, you know, if you're a freaking SME on this shit and you have something new to teach us, I'm open to that, too. Freaking send me some cool documentation and some kind of reason that you do what you do, and I'm in. I'm always up to try new shit, see if it works better than what I know. So hit us up, info@trainingaz.com. Also, you can always drop it on the Facebook live feed, the patron feed, the Instagram feed. So many freaking ways to do it. Drew's going to post up a couple photos of the lights, and we're going to describe why we did what we did earlier on the video. So you folks who are listening, you can go to Facebook or Instagram to see those photos. You can also, of course, go to Instagram Live for the next 24 hours to watch the live feed there, or Facebook anytime for the video of this week's show. All right. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you, get hosting information at the same email address, info@trainingaz.com. Yes, we're still training over at Independence Training. We haven't stopped.
still training, even amidst all this weird shit. We've had to modify and change around and limit classes and do all kinds of crazy stuff, but we're still out there doing the work. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as Independence Training, The Arms Room Show, and Redwire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group, so make sure you check out all the shows on the network. And next week, we're going to have a pre-recorded show, so no Facebook Live. Sorry, folks. It's going to be pre-recorded, so it'll be available on iTunes, Spotify, and Podcast, or Podbean. You can find all those through the armsroomshow.com. We're going to have Chris, one of our own instructors from Independence Training, come in and talk with us about what he's seen in his recent travels across the nation with how some people just freaking totally cashed in on this whole COVID thing. Other people decided they didn't really give a shit. Just some of his experiences, because he's had some really interesting stuff that he's seen. All right, guys, until next time, stay safe and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.